Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. If you are not following it all on social media, this was kind of fun. Last month, I posted a screenshot to show a new plateau that the Instagram following had reached, but noted that it was actually kind of running neck and neck with the number of people following the Twitter account, ironically. Anyhow, always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The National Hockey League trade deadline recently passed. That means some players are now in different cities and getting used to new surroundings, although by that I'm talking about their new home locker room specifically. And with that comes a learning curve insofar as the equipment managers having to learn what a guy likes, doesn't like, uses, doesn't use. Some hockey players might even say, thanks but no thanks. He will sharpen his own skate blade, or he will put new laces on his skates, perhaps to match his new team's colors. Or maybe he wants to tape his own stick. I know, skate blades, laces, tape, these all sound like minor things, but they do serve a purpose and can be done with intention. I'm thinking here of doing palanca, which is something that I have experienced firsthand in the Curcio movement. If you don't know what that is, I suggest you look it up, P-A-L-A-N-C-A. And then thinking of those activities done by the hockey player himself, substitute similar tasks you undertake. In the New Testament, from Colossians 3, verse 23, comes the message, "My daily tasks are not small to God. I can approach each task with intention and purpose, knowing everything I do is pleasing to Him." Or to read it directly from the New American Bible, quote, "Whatever you do, do from the heart, as for the Lord and not for others." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has competed in a variety of strength sports, including Olympic weightlifting, bodybuilding, powerlifting, Highland Games heavy athletics, and team tug-of-war competitions. He worked as a weightlifting and fitness instructor in college and has written several articles for fitness magazines and four books on strength training. His most recent book from 2022 is You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness, and in total, he has written 27 books for Catholic publishers on a variety of topics. Although retired, he continues to do heavy strength training almost every day. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hello, Bruce and everybody. Thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Likewise. I'm looking forward to this. Thank you. I'm disappointed in myself, though. I pride myself on the time I put in doing research about a guest to get ready for interviews, but darn it, if I could not put my finger on where you were born and raised, not to mention the number of siblings that you had.
Oh, I can certainly fill in that gap. I was born in Springfield, Illinois. We call it the land of Lincoln around here. I was the oldest. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. I think my mom had five or six miscarriages before I was born, and she was homebound when I was born. The doctor would come out and visit the last several months. So my middle name is Gerard, after St. Gerard Majella, the patron saint of expecting mothers.
Ah, nice. The audience, and I'm talking about the folks who've been with me for a while now, not people who are listening for the first time, because those folks are probably doing so because they already know Kevin and his story. The larger audience is going to be surprised to hear how your faith life started out and then where it went to. But let's establish that early foundation first. Talk about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were just a young boy.
Yeah, it was there in the beginning from my Irish Catholic mother. My dad had converted to the faith when they got married. I believe his family was Presbyterian or Methodist, but we went to church every Sunday, and I always remember we went out for a big breakfast after that. I went to Catholic grade school, taught by some wonderful Dominican sisters, a Catholic all-boys high school at that time, taught by Viatorian brothers and priests and great lay teachers. So I grew up within the faith. Almost all of my friends early on were Catholic. Yeah, regular mass attendance and the regular Catholic school. Though I will say we didn't really talk much about the faith at home. It was never really a subject of conversation. And I do remember too that we didn't have a Bible in our house either, because once in high school for a religion class, I had to write a paper that depended on having a Bible, and we had to go down to our local Catholic bookstore to get it. So Catholicism, it was in the air. I was raised in it, but it wasn't like something that we delved into deeply at home.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Hold on, audience, to what Kevin just said, because I'm going to come back around to it. But I do need to establish first, Kevin, about sports. We know from the intro that you have been all about what I called strength sports. But when and how did you first get into sports, and what did you compete in before all of those that I listed off in the intro?
Sure, my earliest interest in strength itself, I know, came as I was a little kid watching Superman on TV. I was totally mesmerized, and my parents got me a Superman suit, which I wore most of the time, and my mom's friends would call her Superman's mom. Well, I remember it was by the time I was in second grade, I had realized that I could not become Superman, and I actually saw a weightlifter on TV, and that mesmerized me. So in second grade, I asked my dad to get me a barbell set, and he did.
Wow.
Yeah, I played with that, for several years, but by the seventh grade, I was lifting weights regularly, which
Wow.
became my passion. But for other sports, as a kid, my brother and I, we kind of lived, we lived outside. So we lived, playing baseball in the summer and basketball and football. I remember every time the Olympics came on, we kind of made our own Olympics at home and set up our things to jump over. So we just really loved all forms of sports. And in terms of organized sports, when I was a kid, I just played like little league baseball and grade school basketball. I wasn't the most coordinated of guys, probably average or slightly below average. So my only real sport that I played in regularly before the weightlifting passion was bowling. Bowling, of all things, got me out of all of my high school physical education credits except for one quarter, because my friends and I, we played bowling all through high school. On the school team, and there was also a Saturday morning league. So we bowled, twice a week, every week for all the 4 years through high school.
You and me both, because I used to bowl on Saturday mornings and I also bowled on the high school team. So we have that in common
Oh,
as well.
wonderful.
Let's go back to the faith side now. Share with us about your high school years. What were you doing sports-wise and academically, as well as what was happening in the home?
Okay, so sports-wise, by my high school years, I had become I really immersed in bodybuilding and different forms of weightlifting. So I remember when I was 15 years old, I competed in my first Olympic weightlifting contest. We went to this Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, Illinois. My dad, drove me and some buddies down there, and I did that. So I really, really loved that.
Wow.
And I remember that one of the guys was coaching some of the best teenage athletes in the nation. And afterwards, he wrote me a letter and said, "Hey, I'd be willing to coach you if you're interested." And at that time, I thought, "I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger." So I said, "Well, thank you, but I'm changing to bodybuilding." So I will say, as I look back on my life now, I think, boy, it would have been nice if I would have taken him up on that, to see what was possible, because there would have always been time for the bodybuilding later. But anyway, so all through high school, I trained regularly. And again, in the 1970s, this was kind of odd. Very few people were doing, even athletes. The strength training was kind of rare, because I remember once the Catholic high school, our newspaper ran just a humorous story claiming that me and some of my buddies got arrested for breaking into a local stone company so we could lift their rocks, at night. It was just such an oddball thing. But I was totally engrossed in the weightlifting, bodybuilding worlds in my high school years. And as far as, academically and spiritually, I was always a pretty serious student and went to the all-boys Catholic high school. I do remember at one point, I think I was a sophomore, I was in a religion class, And I was just, it kind of came to me. I thought, boy, if all this stuff I've been taught about Jesus is really true, then there's nothing more important in the world. And I should really kind of make sure I try to live my life according to the faith. So that happened in my mid-teens. But now, as far as the family life goes, at the mid-teens, you know, my parents had some marital difficulties at that time. And my mom went into a very profound depression that lasted, many, many years. So through mine and my brother's high school years, our mom actually spent a good portion of the day, you know, back in her bedroom doing very, very little. Wow. So we did have this, you know, kind of turmoil at home. But it was a time when, you know, it's focused on school, focused on weight training, and we had some of this turmoil at home with dad kind of in and out of the house and mom pretty seriously depressed for a lot of years.
Mm, wow. I'm going to jump back to sports now, because before we drop a real bombshell on the audience with what happened to you faith-wise, I, as much as them, want to understand when you did all the competing that I referred to in the intro: Olympic weightlifting, bodybuilding, powerlifting, Highland Games, heavy athletics, and team tug-of-war competitions. When did all that take place? From what year up to what year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good question. Yeah, I know. The Olympic lifting I did in 1976. In the late 70s, I competed in the Teenage Mr. Illinois contest, bodybuilding. So that was late 78 or 79. I don't remember which one. What I competed in most in my early 20s was powerlifting, you know, bench press, squat, and deadlift. And I usually competed in the 198-pound class because I worked at a gym, and I was an instructor there as I went through college, and we also had our own powerlifting team. So it's kind of fun, you know, because lifting is an individual sport, but it's possible to do it as a team too. So we're, you know, trying to help each other and get the highest numbers of placing so our team can win. So that was mostly my early 20s. Then, you know, was working full time, had children, didn't compete in anything until my early 40s. And then that's when I saw an exhibition at our mall of some guys doing Highland Games, you know, where you put on the kilt and toss the caber and do all of these different throwing and lifting events. And one of the guys saw it looked like I did some lifting, and he invited me to come train with them. So in my early 40s, wow, I did some of those Highland Game heavy athletics. At that time, also shortly after, I also did some distance running, 5Ks, 10Ks, I think 10-mile run. Oh, and I forgot the team tug of war. That was during my early 20s when we were on our powerlifting team, because our powerlifting team also went and did some team 10-man team tug of wars. I remember at the time it was a 2,000-pound limit. So you pick 10 guys, they're gonna, you know, average just a hair under 2,000 pounds. So we did that several times, and it was really hard, but that was a lot of fun.
Very interesting, very interesting. I think that might be a first in the now 215 episodes of this show. Very interesting. Folks, brace yourselves. What you're about to hear from Kevin, his story, might startle a lot of you, especially when you hear an intro like I did when I first brought him on, mentioning 27 books written for Catholic publishers. You have to trust me that this is powerful testimony, not something to be upset by, okay? I know that the Lord has a message or two or 10 in what Kevin's going to share with us. So avail yourself to the Holy Spirit and stick with us on Kevin's faith journey. I do also just want to thank everyone, period, for sticking with me on this journey we're all on together, meaning my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, which passed its 4-year mark last month. I could not have guessed in February 2019 that we'd all be here in community with one another, letting the Lord work together in all of us through the mix of faith and sports more than 4 years later. Praise God for the work that I know He's doing in all of us brothers and sisters in Christ through the messages that we're hearing week in and week out from one great guest after another on this show. I'm blessed to have a front row seat for it all. Yes, I do tell you that the expenses become quite challenging for me, but thank you, God, for giving me the strength to persevere and continue pushing forward so that these testimonies can be heard. As a point of clarification, this is a ministry for me. It's a call that I answered, but it does not generate any income for me. And noticeable by their absence, I don't have any sponsors. That's why it gets tough when bills come in for Catholic Sports Radio, because I have to find a way out of my own pocket to cover those. Fortunately, I have had guests as well as listeners who have made a gift to my ministry, which obviously helps with those expenses that come my way. I do my best to share what specifically they are over various episodes of this show. For example, if you've been with me a long time, you know this is the time of year when the annual men's conference takes place here in my backyard, my home diocese, the Diocese of St. Petersburg, the greater Tampa Bay area. I believe I had had a display there for Catholic Sports Radio the last 3 years. This year, though, I didn't do so. I believe the cost was in the neighborhood of something like $150, I want to say. And that's an example of where it just gets tough for me to pull out of my own pocket to pay for something where I'm not 100% sure that it's helping the show. If money was no object, I would have been there, but I just don't have that luxury. I would ask you, maybe now, especially while we're in Lent, you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, to consider showing your support for what I do on the homepage of the website, CatholicSportsRadio.net. There is a blue donate to CSR button. It's just about as easy as it gets to use. In fact, a guest did that one time and said that he was looking at it during the interview and was thinking of saying on the air how simple it was. Anyhow, take a look at that. It's not a list of predetermined amounts. You're putting in whatever you're comfortable giving, however that fits into your tithing. Alternatively, for those that would rather not do it electronically, there are people who contact me through social media or email to ask about mailing me a check. You can do that through Facebook or Instagram or by writing to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Either way, I will personally write you back with details on how to do that. And whether you use that blue donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or send a check, with your permission, I will say your name on the air as a public thanks. Although, as some have done, you can ask me to keep it anonymous. It all helps me with the expenses I face for sure, but it also tells me that you're getting value from what I do each week, that you like Catholic Sports Radio and want to support my efforts so that we can keep this going and continue the efforts to use the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Kevin, go ahead and share with the audience the shocking turn that your faith life took, the point of view that you taught and counseled from after you got your doctorate. Folks, stick with us. Don't let this upset you to the point of pressing stop. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, and you know, and what you might not be surprised from my background is that somehow this tied in to my faith and then also to my passion for weightlifting and bodybuilding, because when I was in my later teens, I followed this very brilliant bodybuilder named Mike Mentzer. He was the first guy to win the Mr. Universe with a perfect score. He was expected at that time to kind of take over from Arnold Schwarzenegger, though it didn't work out. And this brilliant man in his Muscle Magazine articles would also talk about some philosophy he was dabbling in. So it was first through him that I came to read atheistic philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche, Ayn Rand, Bertrand Russell, and others. And through reading those people in my late teens, I lost my faith. You know, I'd said, I thought, well, if all this I've learned about Jesus is true, then nothing is more important. And they convinced me that maybe what I learned was not true. I read these arguments of atheists that made it look like the idea of God was self-contradictory, or that you didn't need to include God into the equation. We could just start with the universe itself. And through my Catholic upbringing, I just either I wasn't catechized with how to address these arguments, or if I was, I wasn't paying attention. But I spent the next 25 years considering myself an atheist. I was a person who, I didn't attack the church or anything because I knew there was so much good in it having come up through it. But I just thought, oh, I wish I could believe in God, but I honestly can't. And I spent 25 years thinking that way until through a series of events in my early 40s, I ended up reading the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas for the first time.
Let me just jump in for a second here. So those 25 years, so as I said, the way I phrased the question, you were actually teaching and counseling from an atheistic perspective, yes?
Yes, during that time, right. Now, I wasn't like a vocal atheist. I wasn't trying to convince anybody to be an atheist. But there was, you know, there was nothing I would be teaching people that was grounded in the Catholic faith or in Scripture. Nothing like that. I will say, I did have a respect for some of the greatest pagan philosophers who are also respected within the church. So I read people like Aristotle and the Stoics that have some decent moral grounding. But yeah, no, there was no faith perspective in me. So it wasn't even on the radar for 25 years as I did college teaching at that time and went through, obtained my doctorate and counseled people and did psychological testing and so forth.
Yeah, I have to believe over those 25 years that there were certainly people who were just in conversation asking you, what faith are you? What religion do you practice? How were you responding when people were asking you those questions?
Yeah, and that's a great question because, of course, it did come up. And it kind of depended on the context because I never wanted to go out and try to rob anyone of their faith, even if I thought, oh, this is irrational. You know, I never tried to do that. So I wasn't confrontational. I might just vaguely say, you know, I'm Catholic or I was raised Catholic, depending on the person. In certain cases, I would tell them where I really stand. And I remember one of my things was, well, I don't have any religion. I'm a philosopher. I believe in reason, philosophy. So that's where I was. I didn't try to attack belief, but that's where I felt that I stood at the time.
Okay. So yours is a powerful reversion story. When, why, how did you come back to the church?
Yeah, it was, you know, again, partly because I had the interest in some good philosophy too, the Stoics and Aristotle, who ironically, their reason actually did lead them to belief in some kind of a God. But again, I was 43 years old, and I took this teaching course on natural law, which I was interested in. And it was actually taught by a Catholic priest, which I didn't mind a bit, you know, at the time, even though I consider myself atheist. And, you know, he's talking about the ancient Greeks I really admired and respected. Then he moves into St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, these, were, of course, were names I knew by being raised Catholic, but people I'd never actually read. And when I read St. Thomas Aquinas in particular, I was just kind of shocked to find that the specific arguments that modern atheists would use against God, I thought, wow, Thomas, boom, blew those away over 700 years ago, using arguments from church fathers and philosophers who lived before him. So the answers were in my own faith the whole time, and I didn't have a clue. But when I came back at age 43, I just then became immersed in the writings of Thomas because he showed how faith does not have to go against reason. You know, it can fulfill reason, but you don't have to give up your mind. You don't have to give up your reasoning and critical thinking to become, to follow Christ and to become a Catholic. So thanks be to God, you know, at 43 years of age, I was able to come back to Christ and the church and go to confession and embrace the sacraments. And I will say that when I came back, I had discovered that people were praying for me that I would come back. You know, that I didn't even know at the time, but when you come back, it's amazing what you might find out. Wow. Who else has been kind of working for you during all those years.
Mm. So I pride myself on anticipating what questions the audience has as they're listening to these conversations each week. And I have to believe that there are folks out there. And I also picture a lot of times the mom or dad who is listening to the show while they're driving their son or daughter to baseball or to softball or to whatever sport they're going to. And somebody out there is hearing this conversation, Kevin, and they're saying, why does God let somebody do that? Why does God let somebody drift away and all of a sudden go all the way from being Catholic to an atheistic view, never mind the coming back part? So walk them through that, because I think that's an important lesson.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is something, of course, that my main theological man, Thomas Aquinas, addresses specifically, and so does Augustine and others.
I love it.
That, you know, God permits evil, you know, only that from it a greater good may come. You know, so in my case, you know, being led astray, holding these wrong opinions, even for all this time about things, you know, so important as the very existence of God, I realized when I came back, 25 years later, I think I went from age 18 to 43, you know, my love for God was more deeper than ever and more mature than ever. And it just kind of shocked me and surprised me. Then I also had learned, Bruce, that during all those years I was away, you know, I obtained a doctorate in clinical psychology. I worked in the disability evaluation field. I did college teaching. I you know, continued my learning with weight training and strength and fitness. You know, I found that everything I learned when I was away, I was then able to put into the service of the church. And to give you one extreme example, my area of specialty in psychology was memory. And I remembered even when I was away from the church, I knew Thomas Aquinas himself is considered one of the key figures in the understanding of an improvement of human memory. Mm. So my first book when I returned to the church is called Memorize the Faith, and it shows people how to apply Thomas Aquinas' own recommended memory methods to memorizing the catechism. So in a way, you know, it all worked that way for me. Those 25 years, you know, thank God I made it through them. But when I came back, I was just on fire like I might never have been if I hadn't been away.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Since your return to Christ and the church, you've written 27 books for Catholic publishers on a variety of topics, one of which I'm certainly interested in, which is faith and physical fitness. What message do you highlight that way? And is there one specific book you wrote on it, or maybe two specific books you wrote on it for those that want to kind of look for your writings in that subject?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I will say that the first major one I did came out in 2007 called is called Fit for Eternal Life. And they call it a Christian approach to working out, eating right, and building the virtues of fitness in your soul. And I will say there, my main focus there is on exercise and how a person can do it without overdoing it, without becoming obsessed with it. So it's kind of like a very time-efficient approach to doing your body justice, but leaving yourself time for other things. So that was 2007.
Such as worship, I'm sure.
Oh, exactly. Allowing your time for worship. And I also intertwined the theme of the relationship between virtues and health and fitness, which Thomas Aquinas says, he says like health and beauty and fitness are to the body as virtues are to the soul. They're all perfections of capacities God gave us. And, when God calls us to take proper care of our body. So, but the most recent book just came out at the end of 2022 is called You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness. So I kind of cover some of the ground I did back in 2007, but updated it with new things I have learned, especially about nutrition. And I also tied in my experience as a disability evaluator for 32 years. So I try to address some of our health pandemics that we've had in recent decades, like obesity, diabetes mellitus, and non-fatty liver disease. So it has a more of a focus on health than just physical fitness alone, though I do have the strength of fitness chapters in there too. But anyway, it's one of my passions. And I will say too, that book, You Are That Temple, is graced at the end by 23 personal stories from modern day Catholics who somehow or another, take proper care of their body. And one of the storytellers is actually a former pro Mr. Universe, a bodybuilder. A few are priests. There's multiple stories from women in there. So that's my most recent pride and joy as in terms of a faith and fitness book. You Are That Temple.
And folks, I know that there's been some things, even just Kevin quickly going through that list and hearing some of those things that he talked about that we've all been very aware of these last few years. This whole episode, there's been some heavy subject matter, so let's lighten things up a bit. Kevin, if you don't mind my sharing your age, I will tell the audience that you are 62 years old, and yet you continue to do heavy strength training almost every day.
Well, that's true. About 3 hours ago, I did some Romanian stiff leg deadlifts, 320 pounds for 7 reps, and I did some shoulder. But I actually do almost every day if I feel like it. But I also use this high intensity of very, very brief training. So it may be, I'm doing one upper body exercise, one set after warm up, and the same for the lower body. So though I do train almost every day, it's literally usually 20 minutes or less.
Still, though, very impressive, very impressive. Let's close by having you share about your marriage, your family. I'm pretty sure you're even a grandfather. Let's hear all about the Vost family.
Oh, I'd be happy to tell you about that. Just in brief, when I was a weightlifting instructor, that's how I met my wife. She was one of my pupils back in 1983, and we got married in 84. So I went on, what, 38 or 9 years of marriage this year. We have two adult sons, one who happens to live down the street, and he and his buddies come to my garage and work out 3 times a week. So that's a fun thing. We also have two grandsons and two granddaughters that range from less than 1 year old to almost 9 years old. So being grandparents really keeps Kathy and I keep busy these days.
Wonderful, wonderful. And folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Kevin's website so you can go over and see more about him. And certainly, you heard about just two, but the many, many books that he has written. I know there's one out there for you. So please spend some time and look and see all the work that he's done. Kevin, thank you so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. This was really, really fantastic. And God bless you and your family.
Oh, thanks so much to you too. I had a great time. God bless.
And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cap Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cap Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.